Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to Ace time. Let's get the work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hey.
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it. I forgot we added that. Let's do it. And they did it last night, man. The Rockets did it. They did a tap dance on the Warriors' face and made them like it.
I never doubted them. I'll tell you what, if there was one steadfast and confident voice in Houston yesterday, it was Seth C. Payne.
That's right.
Just never doubting the greatness and magnificence and the ability of the Rockets to
citing all the history of
the wall.
Coming back from down 3-1 of great Rockets, which is true. The Rockets have actually, in somewhat historic fashion, come back from 3-1 a couple times in their history.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So. And honestly, they scored the most points that they've ever scored against the Warriors in the playoffs. That for this team to be the team that scores the most points they've ever scored against the Warriors in the playoffs, that's a pretty damn impressive showing.
Yeah. 131-116, the final score last night. Welcome in, everybody, on a Thursday. The perfect day that I hoped for. In the final segment yesterday, 2 out of 3 happened. The Astros couldn't seal the deal with the Tigers. They left plenty of guys on base to try to seal the deal. We'll get to them in the next segment. But the good news, and LeBron is out of the playoffs. We'll get to that as well. But the big news, 131-116, the final score. The Rockets literally ran the Warriors off of the floor last night. Steve Kerr waved the white flag halfway through the third quarter and put in all the subs, who were a much bigger pain in the ass than the starters were in this game.
Yeah. I get it. I understand. But at the same time, I mean, they had a 30-point lead that they let dwindle down to 17 with the backups in. When the Rockets starters came back in, it still got dwindled down to 13.
Yes.
You know what? If there's one good thing to come out of the Warriors' incredible run over the last decade or so, it's that you still had drama in the second half despite having a 30-point lead.
I texted you at halftime because I mean this was as dominant a half as the Rockets have played all season. Like maybe this might be the most dominant performance in a first half that this group has had, as you know, since they've put this crew together here, the Şengün Jalen Amen crew that they've got here. And I texted you at halftime. I said, this is going to be a 10-point game at some point. Like, they weren't going to keep shooting 69% from the field and 60% from three. I was being somewhat tongue-in-cheek. This team has, when they've gotten big leads in this series, let them slip. Even in the game they won in game two, they were up by 20 points at various times in that game and could have put the foot on the throat of the Warriors, and the Warriors would come back with an 8-0 run or a 7-0 run. So I thought a run would come in the second half of this game. I didn't think it would come with the Warriors' backups in against the Rockets' backups. And maybe I'm being overly critical. And this, I mean, good for them going out and running the Warriors off the floor. Like, I should be much happier about this than if it were a close game, because the Rockets really showed what their ceiling was last night. The starters and the rotation, the 8 guys that matter did. The game ended, and I'm like, why am I so agitated right now? Like, why am I so agitated that he brought the bench in and they were shooting, like they were taking shots. It was the opposite of what the Rockets have been doing in this series. They would come in and take shots like 3 seconds into the shot clock.
Yeah, like Jabari Smith Jr. was just, right, this is the, okay, hey, you guys, you get to go in and play.
Yes.
But just, like, just be somewhat responsible about it.
Yes.
Jabari Smith Jr. is like, yeah, hot potato.
Yeah, they're like, no, I'm going to drive this car really fast. I know you're finally letting me drive the car. You're going to drive it. So I don't want to get too. I didn't want to get too swept up in that. You know, it was a great win.
And honestly, when the backups come in, you've got guys that have barely touched the floor at all in this playoffs, and it's. Ultimately, I guess that's on Udoka. This is a team. In the Rockets, that did squander, what, a 15-point lead with 4 minutes left against Minnesota earlier this season.
They had one against Miami as well, yes.
Yeah.
They had a couple games like that. I was surprised that he, you know, like almost gentleman's agreement with Steve Kerr that we're going to all put our backups in. I know he didn't have a gentleman's agreement, but I was surprised that Udoka, given that if you lose this game, your season is over, like don't let any opening here for these guys, you know?
It was a weird night because the Warriors actually out-rebounded the Rockets to relative rarity for the Rockets. But when it really, really mattered and when the Rockets built up their lead, they converted 5 of their 7 offensive rebounds while the Warriors went 8 of 23. And it was just a deluge of basically Amen Thompson taking what he wanted from the Warriors buffet and in the first half. And getting running. And I'll tell you what I was most upset about last night, Sean. The halftime show on TNT. I flipped over. I want to be sure. Oh, let's see what they got to say with it. Boy, it looked like a bunch of old men who were had taken all their meds. They were just, you know, when you sometimes walk into an old folks home and everybody's just kind of sitting around at the lunch.
What did they say? I didn't watch. What did they just not give the Rockets?
Chuck said the same thing 3 times. You know, they're running and, you know, they're pushing the pace and that's what they got to do. Yeah.
Okay. Were they disappointed?
And then Kenny Smith said, yeah, I mean, the Rockets aren't going to lose this game.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of when they decide to pull their starters.
It's very boring. It was very boring. Yeah. Like, I mean, I don't know what analysis. I thought about that this morning. I'm like, what nuanced takes do we have on this game last night, the chess game between Steve Kerr and Ime Udoka? The Rockets shot the ball really well, and the Warriors didn't show up last night. Like, there really isn't. I didn't see what you're talking about. In their defense, there's not a lot to say. Like, the Rockets at halftime were shooting 69% from the field, 60% from three, and maybe the biggest one was they were shooting 85% from the line. They're making their free throws when it mattered last night. When it was still a game, they were making free throws last night.
They weren't just, pooping their pants at the free throw line. These simple things. And some of the guys that don't have to be huge scorers actually being efficient players.
Yep.
So that was really good to see. They had their backs against – what did I ask for? Honestly, without sarcasm yesterday was, hey, can – with their backs against the wall, can they show up and deliver? And they did it the way they need to do it. Amen Thompson in particular was the best version of himself. The other big part of it – and. I will credit the Warriors players and Steve Kerr for this because they are not making a big deal out of it, even though the Warriors broadcast and idiotic fans are. Look, they're going after Steph Curry's thumb.
Yeah.
Honestly, Steve Curry, I tried real hard to listen for any snideness or snarkiness in it. Steve Kerr basically said, that's what the rules are right now. They allow you to swat a guy's hand after the ball's gone. It's been happening all year. Steph's got a thumb. They're going to go after it. And that's what the Rockets should be doing.
Dylan Brooks talked about this after the game. Dylan Brooks was the one who was getting the most heat for it. And there was one particular play where Steph was openly complaining about it, and it was Dylan Brooks who hit him. Here was Dylan Brooks after the game last night when he was asked about it.
Dylan, one of the Warriors broadcasters tonight said he thought you were intentionally trying to swipe down on Curry's thumb. And Kerr was asked about it and said, it happens around the league. That it's allowed by the rules, so players throughout the league do that. What do you think about that?
No, I've been playing the game. If you're gonna come play the game injured or whenever you got, it's all about the game. You know, if I had an injured ankle, I would attack that ankle every single time. So, whatever they're saying on the broadcast, they can keep saying it.
It's very football mentality. You know what I mean? You know a guy's got guy's got a rib. Where are you going to hit him? You know, like you're going to hit him in the ribs.
Right.
You know, it's just how it goes.
Yeah, if your running back comes into a game with bruised ribs,
Sports.
You're going to just be sure you attack the midsection. It is it is weird that they allow it, and it's one of those things that this year people are really exploiting. So so be it, and they can take it up in the postseason with the rules committee.
Yeah, ask the competition committee about it in the offseason. We got a series to win here. So that was good last night, man. That was very, very low stress until midway through the fourth quarter. I did get nervous when he brought the starters back in. I mean, that's when they got taken out. You know, you turn off the gas. You know, like you,
yeah.
You start to die down a little. The adrenaline starts to go away. You know,
mentally, physically,
checked
everything.
Out.
It
yeah.
is. It's kind of when you've been taken out of the game. Because this happened to me once in a preseason game when there was no chance I was going to be. You know, I was a starter. I was a veteran. I got taken out, and I had no thoughts whatsoever of playing. And then all of a sudden there was a deluge of injuries with the young guys.
Yeah.
And I was the youngest of the veteran starters. Yeah. So they were like, hey, Seth, get ready. You might have to go back in. And it's scary as hell.
Yeah.
Now with that, it was, I mean, I'd been sitting around for over an hour or so.
Right.
But yeah, you're not, I had the same concern, Sean. Like, all right, God, please nobody pull a hammy when they go back in here.
Well, injuries. I didn't even think about that. I was just thinking about the lead in the game. Like, and then they give up a couple buckets and it's down to 13 all of a sudden, you know?
It was dual for me. It was, yes, the lead in the game, but more likely if the lead kept to dwindle, once the lead was down to 13, I thought, oh, these guys are really going to have to start playing hard, and that's when you pull a hammy or something because you've already gotten
pulled. Or even when Amen Thompson went to the hoop that one time after they came back in, and it looked like somebody got him in the midsection on the way to the hoop, and he's down. He did that thing where he's down face down on the floor, and he's not flipping over, you know, and that's when you're like, oh, God. This bench, because they blew, you know, they gave up. They came in, they were up 29. They came the white flag moment was with 50 seconds left in the third quarter. Jock Landale and Reed Sheppard came in. They are the two walking surrender, not surrender flags for the Rockets, but they're like sort of the get ready crew is in. This game is over. And in 4 minutes, they coughed up 12 points of a 29-point lead, you know? And so,
And this is a game where, look, if you want to be a genuinely great basketball team at some point, I don't think you can rely on Fred VanVleet being the yard marker for whether, hey, if Fred plays awesome, then you're going to beat this team in the playoffs. That's going to dry up come the conference semifinals or the conference finals in any given year. So with Jalen Green, I kept trying to just be as cool as possible and say, all right, you know what? I just got to remember, as long as you're not relying on him or depending on him to be the alpha, and he doesn't turn the ball over. I don't think he had
that's
a single turnover
thing.
Last night.
Yeah, that's the big
all right.
thing.
He played professional basketball, scores 11 points, whatever. If you do bring, let's say they brought in Antetokounmpo and Jalen Green wasn't part of the package.
Yeah.
You're going to see a better version of Jalen Green if you've got other actual alphas and difference makers out there.
It could be that he's just a supreme complimentary player. That might be his thing.
Right,
you
right.
know, that
I just have,
he has the occasional 38-point game, but nights like last night, like just don't lose the game for, you know, like he took 8 shots, he didn't turn the ball over, had 8 rebounds, attacked the glass, had a couple of assists in 28 minutes. That's fine. Like, you know, as long as
he had a really,
else
really nice kick out to Tari Eason for that corner three.
Yeah.
Like that kind of stuff that you can see. So, but he has definitely 100% reached that level where I have no qualms about trading him. It's I'm being generous in that I think. As long as you don't expect him to be somebody that he's never really shown he can be, which is a game-in, game-out alpha, then, yeah, he can be a valuable part of your basketball team.
Yep.
But I also there's zero part of him that's untouchable.
I think it's interesting. Şengün and Jalen Green had the least field goal attempts of the starters last night. You know, but everybody was clicking last night. There wasn't a single guy who wasn't doing really good things out there. All right, Payne and Pendergast, we're off and running. Good job, Rockets. 3-2, the series. Back to San Francisco they go. For game 6 on Friday. It's going to be a fun Friday night, man. You get a little Astros action on Friday night there in Chicago, and you get a little Rockets action as well in San Francisco. 8 o'clock tip on Friday night in game 6. All right, speaking of the Astros, they got some big news yesterday. We've got a hard date on the return of Lance McCullers. Also, they couldn't sweep the they could not sweep the Tigers, but good things coming out of this series, I would say, as they head up to Chicago to hit a little nice easy patch of the schedule. We'll dig into the Astros from yesterday. And we'll get to headlines a little later on this hour. We're off and running on a Thursday. Payne and Pendergast, stay there.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
All right, Rockets win last night. We'll revisit them in headlines in just a little bit as we welcome you back in on a Thursday. You can text the show, 713-572-4610. I came into the show saying that the Rockets did a tap dance on the Warriors' faces and made them like it. Somebody points out, well, actually, Sean, they river danced on the Warriors' faces.
LOL. Lords of the dance, we
yeah.
are.
Yeah.
That's where, if the Rockets don't have a banner up that says Lords of the Dance for Game 7,
yep.
I will be just incredibly disappointed in them.
I love that I've given you an opening now that when you and I text each other during the day to explain to me, like, every little thing. Like, you had a joke about the Harlem Globetrotters on our text yesterday.
Yeah.
And you said, Sean, the Globetrotters are a team that barnstormed back in the whatever it was. You explained to me
yeah.
who they were, and I responded with a Riverdance gif.
Well, yeah, because I sent you a picture of Curly Neal.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you know. Curly was the one who specialized in dribbling.
In dribbling.
It was after Brendan Rodgers' dribbler with his torpedo bat.
Yes. Where
we realized that the torpedo bat doesn't do anything for your sprint speed as you
no.
got thrown out at first.
That's right.
That yeah, the torpedo. They were talking about the torpedo bat and how Dubon had stopped using it.
Oh, he
Brendan
did?
Rodgers was using it. Yeah,
okay.
yeah. And Rodgers dribbles one
yeah.
to towards the shortstop and just
yeah.
can't hoof it out to first.
Nope. So the Astros lose yesterday to the Detroit Tigers. You know what? They lose yesterday to the Detroit Tigers. I'm not going to get too worked up over it. You had Bluebaugh coming up from Sugarland to make a start here for them to kind of give guys a little extra rest. This felt like a game, not that they were punting on, but they felt, for lack of a better way to put it, Seth, they felt comfortable. If they had to lose this game, they felt comfortable doing so. Like, all right, we're going to put Bluebaugh out there. It's a day
right.
game. We didn't play Yordan in this game. It's a day game after a night game. We got an extra day to get Yordan 2 days of rest. Instead of just one, and whatever happens, happens in this game.
Well, and Bluebaugh, in the inning in which he let up five runs, was it the third inning? They were all unearned. There was a bad error. There was a bad error from Pena thrown to Rodgers.
Horrible.
Yeah.
I don't know
yeah.
what happened. He shoveled into the right field.
I still blamed Rodgers on that. Yeah, Altuve, 18 inches shorter than Rodgers.
He would have stretched and got
somehow would have found a way to, yeah.
No, he would not have. Yeah.
That one, even though I don't mind, that error by Pena, it doesn't bother me whatsoever compared to some of the errors that Pena was making last year. Because Pena was making
yeah.
just wild throws to first at times last year.
Yep.
This was more of a, okay, it was still a pretty athletic move. He just misfired on
yeah.
the throw.
So Bluebaugh pitch, you know, like actually, I mean, you're right. So, only two of the seven runs were earned. I mean, he gave up a grand slam. That's not good. He did strike out six guys. I did hear the broadcast Callis say that. Like, is they're kind of doing the autopsy on Bluebaugh's first major league start, and he pitched four innings, gave up five hits, walked one. But I think it's a good point. Like, you know, I mean, you jokingly ribbed me about it last year when Hunter Brown was not pitching great, but he was still striking guys out. And
yeah.
you talk about how sexy I thought strikeouts were. It is sort of an indicator. Like, all right, there's some, like the strikeouts are, even when you're giving up seven runs, if you're striking out six major league hitters in a good lineup, and that's a good lineup, they're one of the best teams
yeah.
in the American League in four innings. Like, okay, look, Bluebaugh is not going to play into this season for the, if Bluebaugh is a significant part of this season, something has gone terribly wrong medically with the Astros starting rotation. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's, so it is what it is yesterday. Like, it was cool seeing his family clap for him and things like that. But, yeah. Yeah.
That was, and I couldn't tell on the, I was in and out yesterday. Yesterday could have been a magnificent day in terms of the schedule for Houston sports fans.
Yeah.
And you had an afternoon baseball game.
Perfect
day. You had an early Rockets game.
Yes.
And it ended up being really good. I mean, I think a lot of people probably didn't watch the second half of the Rockets game, and they got to bed on time.
Right.
Even though they knew in their minds, okay, this is the Warriors, and this is a Rockets team that's blown some late leads.
Yeah.
By and large, the Warriors never really got themselves back into it.
No.
That
no.
part was good, and you got to watch afternoon baseball.
Yep.
So what I was saying is I didn't, I was kind of in and out while Blue Bow was having that miserable inning where mm-hmm. He didn't let up the five runs. None of them were earned, but five runs scored, right. Whether that was when Julia was interviewing his mom or not.
I think it was
earlier. I always feel bad for the pitcher's moms when their son is making their debut and getting just shellacked.
I didn't see Julia's interview with them, but I did. I mean, during the first inning, they wouldn't stop showing his family. I'm not saying that with any contempt. Like, that's what they were doing. Like, after his first major league strikeout, first guy he gets out, they flash over to him. It was really cool. Like, I think it was his mom.
His girlfriend.
Yeah, she was crying the whole time during that whole first inning. Now, I am a little bit of a sadist in this way. Like, when Torres hit the grand slam to make it 7-0 or 7-1, whatever it was, I was kind of like, I think it was 7-1 because Peña hit a home run in the first inning. I'm like, I'll flashback over to him now. Let's see how they're doing. I'm an a-hole.
That would be a fun thing to do for the opponent.
Yeah.
Right? Have the home broadcast team flash over to an opponent's rookie's parents or something. Let's do that. Can we get on that, Space City?
Giving up seven runs. It was a weird It was a weird series. The teams that scored first in this series went 0-3 because Peña hit a home run right into the little tiny corner next to that nook of the Crawford boxes right there. Perfect placement, Jeremy Peña. Nice job. It was. I'm happy with how this series went. They're the best team in the American League by record, at least. You took 2 out of 3. The game you lost was a minor leaguer starting for you, your best hitter. I know Yordan's not statistically their best hitter. He's their best hitter. He sat this game. He didn't play at all in this game. And they had chances. They left 12 guys on base, and 8 of them were in the last 4 innings of this game. Like, they had bases loaded in the 6th. They had 2 runners on in the 8th and 2 runners on. They had plenty of opportunities in this game, you know? Like,
they had the tying run at the plate the last 3 innings and just could do nothing with it.
Yeah.
They've had some nice little surges and spurts here and there, but they're still one of the worst offenses in baseball.
Yeah, but like, it's cool. Like, Jeremy Peña, like that Jeremy Peña is kind of taking to this leadoff role is you know, again, it's only been a few games.
He had his first George Springer of his career.
Thank you.
The leadoff home run.
Yep. And so he's kind of taken to this new leadoff role, so that's been nice to see. The other big news yesterday was Lance McCullers. We've got a date, and his return is going to be Sunday. I mean, it's a pretty momentous thing, man. It's been 2.5 years since it's 900 and something days since he's pitched in a major league game. When we last saw Lance McCullers, he was giving up 5 home runs in a World Series game and trying to eat up some innings for the Astros in game 3 of the World Series back in 2022. He's going to start on Sunday against one of the worst teams in baseball, the Chicago White Sox. Lance did a little hit with the media yesterday before the game. How's it feel to be back?
It's been a really long road for me. I thank my teammates, coaching staff, Astros organization for standing by me and supporting me. And I'm excited to just kind of get this type of stuff done with, and then just get back into the flow of pitching for this team.
Yeah, it's funny because Lance has been around for so long, and he's 100% an aged veteran at this point.
Yeah.
And yet the amount of emotion and everything that goes into something like this. My biggest fear with Lance is that he's an emotional guy. He's aged a few years by now, but that he's just kind of
hyped up
there.
Yeah,
I think I would imagine that part of some of the problems with his long, long rehabs and setbacks are that he's just constantly pushing.
Yeah.
And I think that he's going to go out there, and I think he's going to be really good. Yeah. I think that part of it, he's a guy that can handle the emotion really well. And it just don't outpitch your tendons and ligaments.
Yeah.
That's all I ask for on Sunday.
That's right. Be kind to your tendons and ligaments. Look, I think people are very cautious about getting excited about this, and I understand. I'm very excited about this. I think the thing you need to remember is that I know Lance McCullers has rarely been healthy the last several years, but when he has been healthy, especially in the latter part, especially the last couple of years before this recent setback, he was really, really good. Like, he's got a career ERA in the mid-3s. He was 7th in the Cy Young voting in 2021. That was when they lost him during the postseason that year. They lost one of the best pitchers in baseball during the postseason the year they lost to the Braves. His comeback the following year in the World Series championship year, he down the stretch, he started 8 games. He was 4-2 with an ERA just a little over two. Like, when he's on the mound, he's good. These rehab starts, these last two or three rehab starts, granted, against minor leaguers, really good. Like, really, yeah. really good. And the pitches are doing the things he wants them to do in terms of velocity and shape and all those other things. I'm allowing myself to get excited about this, Seth. And in my mind this morning, I'm thinking, okay, I'm allowing myself to get excited. I am going to compare this to episodic television. You know, like when Jon Snow got killed in Game of Thrones, but they brought him back to life.
Right, right.
You know, it would have been easy to go, well, he's just going to get killed again. That's what the McCullers people are, who are like, well, he's just going to get hurt again. You wouldn't do that if you were watching episodic television. Allow yourself to just view it as an episode of Game of Thrones. Lance McCullers even looks a little like Jon Snow. You know what I mean? Like, he's got the kind of the long dark hair. He's got sort of that, you know, the tortured.
He doesn't have that dumb look on his face all the time that Jon Snow did.
No, but they're
both, he's like Jon Snow, but a lot better.
But they're both very handsome, dark haired guys. The ladies like them both, I'm sure. And so, yeah, like, this is Jon Snow. When Jon Snow got brought back to life and you're watching Game of Thrones, you're like, he's just going to get killed again. No, you were like, oh my God, he's brought back to life. And I know this is several lives that Lance McCullers has now been.
Yeah.
Lance McCullers has been brought back from several lives now, but allow yourself to get Jon Snow excited about this.
Yeah, I think people are going to be amped up. That's going to be, what time is that? Is that an afternoon game?
It's an afternoon game. Yeah. It's a noon or one o'clock start.
I'm clearing my schedule.
I am too.
For Sunday.
Well,
yeah.
This is significant.
I'm not going to be, hey, listen, sorry, starving children that I usually go out and feed.
Right.
Sorry, all of the old people that I go and read books to at the old folks' home.
Yep.
And sorry to the eight different churches I go to. I got to clear my schedule on Sunday.
Hey, homeless, you're going to have to find your own food on Sunday. Seth is busy, okay?
Yeah, I'll be less of a hero for humanity
Sunday. That's right.
Because I got to watch me some Lance.
That's it. Here's Lance McCullers on how he feels physically right now.
My last two outings, I felt really good. I feel like my stuff's pretty crisp, so obviously it's been a long layoff for me, and there's probably going to be things I have to work through, and get my feet back under me and things of that nature. But I feel like I'm in as good of a spot as I can be coming out of rehab, rehab games, I should say, and I'm excited for Sunday.
Okay, you hit the biggest thing there, Seth, is that he's got to make sure the emotions are in check. I would put the odds on somebody getting hit. A batter getting hit with a pitch in the first inning at +250. Somebody's dead. Remember Game 7 of the World Series back in 2017? Lance started that, and he beamed three guys in the first two innings of that game.
A part of that, those Dodgers are getting a little too comfy.
I don't care.
Squeezing the plate, and he's like, I don't care. I'm just I'm gonna rifle this on the inside. I know I don't have control, but I will get you moving your feet a little bit.
Somebody's getting beamed on Sunday. Not intentionally. I don't mean like up and in on the chin because, I just think, I think Lance is going to be a little juiced for this game on Sunday.
Would you prefer Lance to come in back when the Astros still had a losing schedule or a losing record and things were way more uncertain, to where now everything is stabilized a little bit and you feel like, okay, we can give a game up or something? I'm glad that it's under these circumstances.
That they're a couple games over, that they've straightened things out.
Pressure, as much pressure as there can or cannot be in an early regular season game.
Yeah.
I feel like the team itself, the psyche, at least of the fan base, is in a much better place.
Oh, yeah, right now. To answer your question, I didn't even think about that. I don't have a strong preference either way. I'd always rather, it's better that he's pitching when the team's doing well.
It doesn't feel like he needs to be a savior or something. The pitching is phenomenal so far.
Yeah.
And they're winning games with it. The pitching has been phenomenal all year long.
Yes.
But they weren't winning enough games with it early on, whereas now you've built yourself at least a little bit of a micro cushion.
No, this is a big deal. Like, if he comes back and is healthy and is in your rotation and he's starting every 6 days or whatever it is they settle on for a rotation, 5 or 6 man rotation, this is a very, very takeable American League right now. Like, the American League... The best team in the American League is the one you just played, and you beat them twice, could have beat them three times if you could get a couple base hits late in this game. You're right in there with all these teams. It's the National League that has all the good teams. There's six elite teams in the National League. The American League has none of that. This is a very, at least right now on May 1st, this appears to be an American League that is going to be there for the taking for a team or two that can do some things on the margins, and Lance McCullers could wind up being a big, big deal in all this.
Sean, if Lance McCullers is out there yesterday instead of Bluebaugh, there's a chance that the Astros are only one game behind the Mariners right now
instead of two.
As simple as that.
Yeah. So it's a potentially a really big deal. I understand people laying back, don't want to get excited. Lance has been hurt five other times in his career. Screw it. I'm going to allow myself to get excited about it, you know?
You know where I was looking up the team batting stats earlier?
Yeah.
And there's... the Rockets are kind of they're getting back up there. I just in terms of runs scored, the Astros are 22nd right now. Mm-hmm. The Rockies are bad, but the Rockies are dead last and playing half their games at home there. That's just that is a miserable feeling.
They've won four games all year.
Yeah.
Like they're threatening the White Sox as the, you know, the worst.
But even
team
if
ever.
You had told me the Rockies had lost four games all year, you're still playing at home there. You can't possibly be dead last in offense.
That and team yet, there can. They are. Yeah, they suck. They're horrible. Hey, we're proud to partner with the Inspirit.
Cubs are at the top, if anybody's curious.
Dude, Tucker and Bregman are both killing it right now. Both of them are killing it right now. The big topic in Boston, is Bregman going to opt out of his contract after this year? That's the big thing.
Of course it is.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Remember those idiot Bostonians that for some reason thought it was good that he had options?
Yeah.
Because he was on a good team now.
Yeah.
And and he's got options, so he can keep it. No, that's not the option doesn't work that way.
No.
The option is a protection against if the player plays awful and then still gets paid the next year. It's his option.
It's his option. Hey, we're proud to partner with the Insperity Invitational. It's happening at the Woodlands Country Club Tournament Course this weekend. Stephen Alker, David Duval, Ernie Els, John Daly, and more on the PGA Tour Champions, the PGA Tour Champions Best are on the course right here in town. An incredible weekend of championship golf teeing off tomorrow. Entry to the tournament is free for score updates, tee times, weather notes, and more. And weather notes are key. More information, head to Insperity Invitational. Your headlines are up next. Rockets win, Astros lose. We'll revisit both of those. And somebody is gone in the NBA playoffs. We will get to that in headlines next.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines presented by Men's Tea Clinic.
All right, let's get to headlines. Rockets win last night, 131-116. Really no stress during that game last night. They were up by 30 in the first half of that game. The Warriors literally took their starters out with 6 minutes to go in the third quarter. Steve Kerr, and I think it was a smart thing to do. That group of starters was not coming back against that group of Rockets, because the Rockets would have kept their starters into. I would imagine if Steph Curry and Draymond Green, et cetera, are all out there. So they take the starters out. Ime Udoka was asked after the game about keeping their foot on the gas until the bench came in.
All the above. Physicality, attention to detail, focus, effort, communication, all of the above. The things we talked about where we have to be consistent in those areas, we were from the start on both ends. Great defense. Had some guys that made some threes that we don't mind taking them. And other than that, we locked in on everybody and then turned our defense off and got out and ran.
Yeah, it was about as close to a perfect game, you know, until the bench came in and coughed up 12 points of the lead in 4 minutes.
Right.
While the starters were in, this was a perfect game by the Rockets.
I was a little bit torn, too. Jabari Smith Jr. is jacking up shots like 3 seconds into the play.
Yeah.
When you have a lead like that. And yet, I mean, the way they got that lead was by playing very aggressively. They had a bunch of steals in the first half.
Yeah.
And that was what was working. I remember somewhere towards the end of the first half, Whitmore just barreled into two Warriors. And I'm like, what are you doing? Then I remembered, okay, yeah, look, they've been playing aggressively. Like this, even though you got a 30-point lead, just keep it up. I don't know. I know you're a little bit more agitated with the fact that the Warriors were able to claw their way back into a 13-point deficit.
Yes.
I'm cool with it because I fully expected the Warriors, backups or not, to get some shooting going in the second
half. I'm agitated. Not like they're going to lose the series agitated. I was just mad that, like, I was mad because they were doing it by being stupid and by not getting rebounds. There were possessions where the Warriors were literally getting 3 and 4 shots at the basket, you know?
If you had told me, when the Warriors had those 3 offensive rebounds in a row.
Like that's it.
And they just kept missing. You're like, no, not this team. Not the Warriors. I don't care who's out on the floor.
Yeah. No, I don't want that to be the headline either. Like, I was agitated after the game was over because it didn't have to be. It shouldn't have had to be that way. That's neither here nor there. I'm not worried. The Rockets had to bring their starters back in. Nobody got hurt. It's all good. I think the big takeaway, Seth, as we head to game 6 on Saturday, is that in the games the Rockets have won, They have clearly been the better team. And I know in game two there was no Jimmy Butler, and Pajemski had food poisoning, and he didn't score a point in that game. Whatever. They ran the Warriors off the floor in that game. They ran the Warriors off the floor in this game. The three games the Warriors have won, the Rockets have been in all of those games. Those have been, particularly the last one, where they had a chance to win it at the end. Now, you know, that and, you know, that and $5 will get you a cup of coffee. Like, you're still losing this series 3-2. But my take stands at the beginning of this series, which is the Rockets are the better team. They're the more talented team. They're the better team. They can't shoot free throws, and that's been a big problem. They were able to shoot them when it mattered last night. I think they can go to San Francisco and win this. I don't know if they're going to win the series. It's hard to win three in a row against anybody.
Right.
But they can go win this game on Saturday. This is not this is a Warriors team. They're better than this Warriors team.
And the old thing, too, is I think that because you're edging it, not you, Sean, personally, but because the Rockets are not a great scoring team, the tendency is also to think, all right, yeah, they're not going to shoot 68% of the floor from the floor. Right, but they didn't have to last night. Yeah. They had a 30-plus point lead.
That's right.
If you don't have to shoot 68% from the floor to have that lead. Yeah. Like, the turnover, the steals, the pressures, putting the ball. I mean, the rebounding disadvantage that the Rockets had is a little bit of an illusion, because when it really mattered, the Rockets took advantage of their second chance opportunities. When the Warriors weren't scoring, the Rockets were grabbing rebounds. So all of that, when it really, really mattered in the first half, they were doing everything according to plan.
The Warriors got like 8 of their rebounds on 2 possessions. With the bench in there. All right, so we'll talk more about the Rockets at the top of the hour. It was a great win. It was a great, great win last night, and we'll talk about it more at the top of the hour here. Continuing with headlines, LeBron is LeGone. They lose to Minnesota last night, the Lakers do, 103-96. In a game where the Timberwolves shot, Seth, 7 of 47 from 3. You lose a game by 7 at home, an elimination game, where the opposition shoots barely, 15% from 3? And you lose that game, and you lose that game. I'm going to tell you right now, when I heard this audio we're about to play from J.J. Redick, I saw this. This was before the game. There was a reporter questioning J.J. Redick about, hey, are you going to consult with your assistants? Well, we'll let you hear the question. The genesis of the question is that J.J. Redick basically didn't sub anybody out in the second half of the last game, and LeBron didn't score in the fourth quarter. Like, they're all sucking wind out there because he just left his starters in the whole time. Here was a question about J.J. Redick leaning on his assistants for help with the rotation.
As you watch the film, what do you recall about your thought process in the moment, sticking with the five you stuck with in the fourth quarter the other day? And is there an assistant or someone maybe that you'll lean on tonight, maybe to try to get, you know, some other guys involved if that opportunity presents itself?
Are you saying that because I'm inexperienced and that was an inexperienced decision that I made? Do you think I don't talk to my assistants about substitutions every single timeout?
No, I just think there's a lot of coaches lean on their assistants in those situations.
As do I, every single time. That's a weird assumption.
That thud you heard was the mic hitting the table and J.J. Redick storming out of the interview room.
Hey, listen, I was dumb on my own accord, all right?
Dude.
I was dumb in a conventional fashion, not in a rookie coach fashion. You think I can't be dumb like a veteran NBA coach?
Right.
Go die, reporter.
Yep.
Yes.
I pounded that Timberwolves money line button after I saw that. I'm like, that's how wired he is and sensitive he is before the game? They are losing this game. They're definitely losing the series, even though they don't win that game. J.J. Redick is so far out over his skis. That, I'll tell you what, I used to be a big LeBron fan. I've become less of a LeBron fan through the years. I could take or leave Luka, whatever. Watching J.J. Redick lose this series in five is what I'm taking the most joy in out of all of it.
Yeah,
he's such a beast sometimes, man. Like, he's, ugh. Yeah. So
he's the smartest guy in the room. You know, he's 100%. He just gets things the way other people don't. Of course, I use my assistants.
Yeah.
And I told them all to shut up. Because I'm a rookie head coach.
That was one of those questions.
Doesn't know that I've got too large of an ego to actually accept the input. That should have been the follow-up question. Okay, well, you talk to them, but do you listen to them? Why exactly did, with this council of elders you have around him, why did you leave them out
That's
there?
Right. Yes. That's right. So the Lakers are gone. My prediction, Seth, for today is that on the debate shows that are going to be on our TV here in studio shortly, Get Up, First Take, that there will definitely be a how does this affect LeBron's legacy question.
Oh, they love the legacy stuff.
They love the legacy stuff.
And one of them will claim that this is what people are going to remember.
Well, there's Barkley, right? Well, Barkley, I think Barkley's a little, I think he's a little off on this take, but it's Barkley. Because LeBron is now losing in the first round on the regular, you know, or he has at least a few times with the Lakers. Like this Laker run, they won a COVID title, and other than that, it's not been good. You know, it's not been what they expected. Charles is saying LeBron's not a top five player anymore in NBA history.
Yeah. Oh, no, so if he had just retired 5 years ago, he would still be a top five player. Yeah. It will come up, you know what? That's going to be the most depressing thing, is that 17 years from now, you're going to see somebody on ESPN arguing about the waning years of LeBron versus the waning years of Jordan.
Yeah.
And LeBron in his waning years was still more effective and had teams that were going to the playoffs compared to where Jordan was.
Oh, and Jordan.
And that's what tips the scales.
When Jordan went to the Wizards. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The other caption, the other question that I guarantee you we will see. I guarantee the legacy one with LeBron is an easy. That's a layup. That's an easy one. Do you think we get a is Nico Harrison vindicated topic on these shows today on the national yammering at each other shows? Nico Harrison, the Mavs GM who made the Luka trade. Yeah,
no, I don't think Nico can't be vindicated until the Mavs actually finish higher than the Lakers.
Agreed.
At the very least.
Yeah.
Right. If somehow he had retained his two best players and they were healthy and they're in the playoffs and they had won this round of the playoffs, they could. But the guy that you traded Doncic for is perennially injured.
Yep.
And that's the problem. So, no. Somebody will claim that he is vindicated. And I am totally open to the possibility that 3 years from now, people have amnesia about what they said about Nico Harrison.
Yes.
It could very much happen. But, no. That you cannot in good conscience say that this is vindication.
I totally agree with you. My question is, will it be a topic on those shows? Are they going to debate and discuss?
Yeah, I think so.
I think so, too. I mean, that's an easy one, you know?
Just as a quick roundup for what the Lakers have done since they won the COVID championship.
Okay.
Lost in the first round of the playoffs.
Yep.
Didn't make the playoffs.
Yep.
Lost the conference finals.
Yes.
Go team. And then lost in the first round.
Yeah. Three first-round exits, one complete no show in the playoffs,
yeah,
and then a conference finals appearance.
In four of the last five seasons, they haven't made or haven't progressed past the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, just how they drew it up with LeBron there. And for sure how they drew it up when they brought Luka in with the trade. I really enjoyed that last night. For those of you getting in your cars, Astros lose 7-4 to the Tigers. Lance McCullers makes his return to Major League Baseball Sunday against the White Sox after 2.5 years of rehabbing an injury. All right, let's circle back to the Rockets, who are being accused of something that is perfectly within the boundaries. I loved Dylan Brooks' reply to the broadcast team on the Warriors feed about a topic that has all of a sudden become, at least in the Warriors' eyes, somewhat controversial. We'll have that for you. We head into a nice long segment. We got a lot to get to in the 7 o'clock hour. And who is the only untouchable Rocket, according to an article about a possible Rockets trade in the offseason? We'll tell you who that is as well, coming up next.